All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Wednesday, June 21st. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
He's live this time. Buddy, where were you yesterday? We were supposed to do a podcast, then I get a call a couple minutes before, or a text saying you can't make it, and we have people in the chat room wondering where you were.
Oh, no.
Care to explain?
Nope.
That is weak. I don't know. That's
Just kidding. We'll get my wife. She's a doula, which means she supports women when they're in labor. And it just so happened that her client went into labor at 6 a.m., leaving me with the kids. Also, my oldest son, whose birthday it was, to hang out with all three of them all day while she was off helping a new child come into the world. So
I was kind of hoping you'd come up with a funny answer. Or right, from DFS. That didn't happen.
Well, that was a really good open, dude. Nice job.
DFSR.com /MLB. We'll still get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system, doula powered, for MLB, DraftKings, and FanDuel. It's just free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that, and you're all good to go.
We got a double overlay. What do you think the overlap, real quick, in the people who know what the word doula means and the people who listen to this podcast?
Is I mean, you and me.
A quarter of a percent less, you think?
I mean, I told my wife to, like, put the podcast on her phone so we would get a couple more downloads every day. So, like, maybe she accidentally presses play.
Like, automatically transitions into that after she's done listening to the podcast she actually likes.
Exactly. Like her. And then I would say that's pretty much it. I can't imagine anyone else that listens to this knows what that thing is. All right. We have a double slate of baseball today. Early slate, and I actually kind of like the way things are shaking out, mostly just because I like when the pitching kind of crop rises to the top. Like yesterday was Sale. Like I like the day before with Kershaw. I prefer days like that, even when I know those guys are going to be chalk, just because, I don't know, I'm a little less risk. I'm a little risk adverse when it comes to baseball in that way, and I like when just the plays are obvious. On the early slate, do you see Scherzer as pretty much like, not, well, yeah, like a must play in cash, I guess. To the same degree, like, will he just be like an overwhelming chalk play on the early slate?
Yeah, I think especially on FanDuel, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, it's just 12-3 with a $60,000 to work with. It's going to be really hard to get away from Scherzer. That's just a really affordable price. Reasonable matchup, even if the money line doesn't, you know, isn't really cooperating there. But the lack of other options, I mean, and the lack in spread between him and, say, Pomerantz at 4,000 is not really that dramatic that you would want to dip down into an American League pitcher who's just significantly worse. So yeah, Scherzer will be everywhere on FanDuel. DraftKings is a little bit closer to me. I mean, he's 14-1 on DraftKings, and it's a slate with not a lot of cheap options, at least as of yet. How are you feeling about him over there?
It's really expensive, and the points per dollar you're getting on him is pretty damn low, considering how low his money line is. Like, he's only -150, kind of like you mentioned that a second ago. But I still think the other options just aren't worth really rolling the dice on. I mean, rolling the dice on two of them. Like, you're gonna obviously have to play one other guy that probably you're not gonna feel great about. But playing two guys of the group that's left, I don't think there's enough value in like the high price bats that you're really getting away with anything by fading Scherzer even at 14. Like, it's agreed, it's a totally insane price. He's been great this year, so don't get me wrong. So it's like not like you're just like, it's not like you're overpaying for a Johnny Cueto here just because like he's like the only name pitcher on the slate. You know, Scherzer's averaging more than 12 Ks per nine. The walks are right around two. He's been, you know, basically a Cy Young candidate, maybe would be the Cy Young award winner right now in the National League. So and he's just priced accordingly, and I still think I don't see a reason to really get away from him. I think you can just kind of fiddle around with stuff, just take some savings somewhere else and don't really mess around with that. In the starting pitcher two slot, though, that's actually the bigger question for DraftKings, is like who to roster from the Pomerantz, Straley, Erasmo Ramirez, I guess, that really falls off a cliff after that. But like, I guess it would be those three guys that to really consider. Any one of those guys stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to what you can afford price-wise, but certainly the name I would feel happiest seeing at the pitcher two slot on DraftKings would be Drew Pomerantz. The Royals this season have been a bottom five team in terms of WOBA against left-handed pitching. They're doing their classic don't strike out much, but don't hit the ball much routine. So that actually, you know, that's not usually ideal when we're trying to roster our starting pitcher one or our pitcher on FanDuel, where we can be a little bit more selective. But for the pitcher two slot on DraftKings, you're always going to kiss a few frogs. So as I look up and down the names there, he kind of fits the profile of a guy who's like, you're not super thrilled to play, but is a little bit more attractive than some of the other options there. Pomerantz himself, of course, this season has added to his K total, topping 10 per 9. The walks have gone down just a little bit. And while the ERA hasn't really gotten there this year, like it's climbed from 3.3 to 4.2, a lot of that appears to be some weird BABIP issues. So if that all comes back down to earth, we should expect to see him turning back into the pitcher he at least was in the past. And that's just worth $8,500 on DraftKings. The question is, if you're going to play him with Scherzer, does that leave you enough flexibility with the bats to really get there?
I think it does. I just think that there's no team that's like really going crazy standout, like crazy run line higher than anybody else. I mean, one thing is there's no run line in or over under, excuse me, on the Cubs yet, and right. There's a money line, like they're huge favorites, like -180. That's not going to talk me into Eddie Butler from that he stinks still. So that's got to just be coming all from their bats and the fact that San Diego's just not very good. Eddie Butler himself is pretty terrible, so I'm not
that should be that a money huge line. I mean, Miguel Diaz and Eddie Butler combined have a 12 ERA this year, so and the xFIP is pretty close to that as well, so I expect to want to play some bats from that game, but I don't know.
My guess it settles in like 9.5-10 would be my over under. We have like a default set to 8 right now, so that's why the Cubs guys aren't like showing up necessarily in the lineup. But I'm happy to just wait a few more minutes on that. It'll probably be in like the next 45. This is 9:30 Eastern, so the next 45 minutes, I suspect. Sure. We have some kind of line on that. I think I could get a Pomerantz there. I mean, system doesn't mind Straley here. It's hard to be the underdog. You really wouldn't want to do that in tournaments, I don't think, because you're gonna kill your win expectation with him facing Scherzer. So I don't really. I don't, for a tournament, I wouldn't do it. It's not probably the worst thing in the world, but like, again, the Nats are just not a great matchup. So I'd rather just take the strikeout upside, I guess, with Pomerantz. And then Erasmo Ramirez, he's got a decent money line. He's just kind of like, I mean, you compare him to like, I think Michael Wacha type of guy. Like, system likes him because he's not horrible.
I wouldn't,
but he's
like
not...
Leak, actually, but same, the concept.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Leak. You said Leak. Those guys are like the same anyway. But like the fact that like he doesn't strike out a ton of guys, he doesn't walk a ton of guys, he's kind of just average. He's the kind of guy that like sometimes will play this guy in the starting pitcher too, and then you just kind of just like hold your breath,
wait for tomorrow to come.
Just like shut it off, hold your breath, and just like hope that you get out without a 5-run inning or something like that, because I just feel like that happens like a little too often.
His not so great peripherals are also a result of him pitching out of the bullpen too, so like that's not inspiring either, right? The fact that he's got 54 innings this season, and more than half of which are from the bullpen, and he can't strike out 7 per 9. Yeah, none of that bodes super well for his prospects.
Yeah, so I think all that being, when it was all said and done, I'll just take the Pomerantz strikeout kind of upside and hope that the run bad on the ERA regresses a little bit against the team that you're not really so worried about. The Royals got to Sale just at the end of the game last night. Like, he let up 3 runs, but it was mostly just a 2-run homer at the end of the game that kind of did him in when he probably was out there for 2 or 3 pitches too long. So I wouldn't worry about people. I know because people will say, oh, you know, they got the Sale last night. Well, they really didn't. He was like completely dominant. He just kind of made one mistake right near the end of the game. So now I think that's probably where we settle in. And like I said, we'll settle in on somewhere on the Cubs over under, which I do think will probably creep a few more of those guys into lineups, just because that matchup, that probably is going to end up being like the juiciest just pitching, bad pitching matchup on the early slate.
All right, and before we get to the evening slate, Doug, I'd love to talk to you about In-Game Fantasy. In-Game is an innovative new app, and I use that term not loosely here. It's a totally different DFS product than many are going to be used to, because it's just a DFS, but with a really, really interesting twist. So you still get to draft a new lineup each night, but instead of preparing your lineup before lock, you actually dynamically create your lineup as the night goes through. I actually wrote a big strategy article on our site, which you can see by going to dfsr.com. and then clicking on the strategy tab. But what it allows you to do is you pick these players, and then instead of getting a certain number of points based on their performance, you actually get a real life kind of baseball result. So you see something that looks like an ESPN box score. If Albert Pujols hits a double, then he'll be on second base. Then you pick the next guy that comes up, and you know he can either knock him in or get out or whatever. You get 3 innings per contest, and whoever scores a certain, you know, over the whatever the threshold is for number of runs gets the cash. So really cool app. You can kind of enter as many contests as you want as the night goes through. Just keep picking guys on a rolling basis. If you're sweating baseball anyway, this gives you a great opportunity to key in on those dream spots, you know, like when the team gives up and you can bring Bryce Harper in against some bum right-handed reliever that he's true talent is a 1500 OPS against, you can grab Bryce Harper there. So anyway, in-game fantasy, you can check them out by clicking any of the banners on our site. We're going to fantamana.com and use promo code DFSR and you get a free $5 entry to a contest.
Yeah, I love that. I love the app. And that, actually, tonight's a great night for it, too, because there's so many bad pitchers that we're going to get to pretty soon that you're just going to have. It should just be like an absolute treasure trove of just guys coming up that are in great spots. So, yeah, definitely check it out tonight. Now, the big news for tonight is actually I'm considering going to taking my daughter to the Cardinals-Phillies game. Talk me in or out of this. I'm pretty sure I'm going to buy tickets right when we get off the podcast. She's never been to a baseball game, and that just seems to be the closest one. It's Michael Wacha versus Pivetta. Good way to introduce her to a Major League Baseball game, or save it for another day?
No, good, because kids hate pitching. So you want terrible pitchers when you're going to bring your kid to their first baseball game, because then you lure them in to make them think that baseball is actually exciting, where stuff is happening all the time. Not just like, you know, the lazy fly ball to right field. That's an out, you know. I guess a bunch of walks. Walks aren't very exciting, but yeah, I mean, baseball kind of questionable for kids in general, but if you're going to take them to a baseball game, I say bad pitchers all the way.
Yeah, my wife's kind of forced my hand here because she's having an event at the house with about 500, feels like 500 people. I'm sure it's going to be less, so time to get out of Dodge. So I think it's going to be Cardinals-Phillies for me and the kid tonight. All right, outside of that game, which I'll be at, which you can see me in the stands if you're watching.
They're like, we have some celebrities in the stands tonight.
Is that Sammy Hino on DraftKings? Where should I start with pitching tonight when I'm setting my lineups in the parking lot?
Yeah, we're actually a little bit pitching rich, I think, tonight. Or at least the pitching options seem pretty solid to me. And I always like that, at least this point in the day. It feels like things can solidify even further. The two guys I'm looking at most are going to be Jeff Samardzija and James Paxton. We'll start with Samardzija just because I think he'll probably be a little bit higher owned. Samardzija's an interesting guy. His ERA hasn't cooperated with his true talent this season whatsoever. Like, the 10 Ks and 1.2 walks per nine is truly elite stuff. Like, that's, you're talking like top 10 pitcher in the majors sort of territory. But the 4.8 ERA has obviously been a little bit troublesome. As I was combing through Samardzija's past, he has had several seasons where his ERA has been higher than his xFIP. So maybe there's some fire where that smoke is coming from. But I'm not overly concerned about that. I'm just really, really loving the peripherals there. And I like the matchup too. You know, the Braves this season, bottom 10 team in terms of WOBA against right-handed pitching. Pretty good pitcher's park here. So I think Samardzija will be highly owned. He's also just cheap based on his results this season. 9,400 on DraftKings and 8,800 on FanDuel. Super, super affordable for a guy who's just got excellent peripherals, effectively a 10-to-1K to walk ratio.
No, I think he's actually the pretty clear cash game play. Like, I'm not sure if like this totally goes with it. He's had to pitch two of his games in Coors where he's got kind of blown up. That's a lot of the runs that he's given up this season. Like 15 of the runs that he's given up this season, or two games in Coors, or basically 11 innings in Coors. You can kind of forgive a guy for that happening, I would say. So, if you kind of just like knock those two games just kind of off the ledger for him, the ERA probably does actually climb. Probably a little bit down into where that xFIP is, and you're right, he's just been great. Like, he's been borderline just like one of the best pitchers, like a K to walk, almost just K to walk ratio alone. Just one of the best pitchers in the majors. I love him in this spot. I think people will probably be on him too, just because I don't know, the general baseball DFS fan is getting pretty smart. Like, they're either figuring this out on their own, or outfits like ours are pointing to these guys.
Say it again. Or using our projection system.
Yeah. Right, yeah, exactly. But I think most projection systems are going to see this because, not to say that ours isn't great, I think ours is probably as good as you can find in the business, but most will see past some of the wonkiness like that is kind of coming up with him in terms of just how many runs he's let up, because you really just can't ignore the K stuff at all. It is a little outlierish for his at least recent performance in the majors. We talked about him before in the pockets because we basically talked about him the last like 10 times he's pitched, except for the ones in Coors, because I just think you are still getting great value on him. He's still very so cheap. 8,800 on FanDuel is just nothing, and then you can just basically stack the rest of the bats that you want. So now I think for me, it's going to be all Samardzija on FanDuel. It's really just going to be 100% for me in cash, unless something crazy changes, which I just don't think it's going to. I'm pretty much all in on him on cash. You think, is there a case for Paxton on FanDuel at the same price? Well, 100 less for Paxton. Or were you kind of like looking Paxton more of like a starting pitcher too on DraftKings?
I think there's a case for him on FanDuel. I do think that it's a stronger one on DraftKings. The problem with Paxton here is he's got a significantly worse matchup you know, the Tigers this season have not been bad really against left-handed pitchers, so you don't feel great about that. Of course, he's in a significantly better park. Safeco's one of the best pitchers' parks in the AL, if not all of the majors. So, you know, maybe you do get a little bit of safety there, but, you know, still some of these Detroit bats are going to be able to hit it out in any park that they play in. So I think you definitely take a little bit of a cut in terms of safety. I think it's weird. I think his ownership actually will be maybe higher than you expect, just on the basis, and it's going to sound crazy, but Samardzija's 2-9 record and the 4.8 ERA. I just think that a certain number of casual fans aren't going to look past that. And actually, Vegas doesn't really love the total there. Like, right now it's a 9 and it's almost a pick'em. That seems insane to me too. Like, I just kind of want to bet that game almost,
right?
Just from a raw sports betting perspective. But anyways, I think some of that stuff is going to lead Paxton's ownership a little bit higher than maybe we expect at this point. Also, just because Paxton's been a little bit of a fantasy darling this season and has not let people down. You know, the 3.2 ERA, 10 Ks per 9. He's been pretty effective every time people have played him. But yeah, right now, for me personally, I'm not going to roster him in cash games on FanDuel. I'd be thrilled to do it on DraftKings, though. I mean, he's just 7,700 on DraftKings. It's basically giving him away. Like, either Samardzija or Paxton would both be easy plays on the early slate, even over Scherzer and those other guys.
No, yeah, I think one thing that actually, just back to Samardzija for 1 second, one thing that does cut into him a little bit is SunTrust Park or Turner Field. I can't get these freaking ballpark names. So where Atlanta plays. I think it's SunTrust, but it used to be Turner, whatever. I do think that is playing more of it. That does play as a hitter's park, and that does cut into Samardzija just a little bit probably, and that is maybe a slight case for Paxton, where the money line for Paxton is moving in the right direction if you want to play him, because he started at -125. It's already up to -140 with all basically the runs coming off the Tigers and onto the Mariners there. So it's not like Vegas is moving in the right direction for Paxton. So if it were to continue to move, I don't think it's going to like completely crazy correct from here on out, but I guess it probably gets a little closer with, like you had said, the Tiger lineup. That's really the only thing that's really knocking against them right now.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
Is that already lineup that they're likely to probably throw Castellanos into this two hole, which I'm pretty sure they do against lefties. So, it's still not that close for me, really, just because I just like the peripherals overall in Samardzija. But yeah, no, pairing them together on DraftKings seems pretty easy. Do you think people talk themselves into paying up for Carrasco here against the Orioles? I know the ballpark's not great. Orioles are mostly righty heavy, but do you think people talk themselves into that spot?
I don't think so. I mean, he doesn't really generate the big name cachet that some of the other big guys would. Carrasco's been good this season, but he really hasn't been even just better than Samardzija or Paxton. He's basically the same guy for 2,000-3,000 more, depending on who you're looking at here. And yeah, to your point, the matchup is not like anything to write home about either. You know, Baltimore, they're a heavy right-handed lineup, but they also have a lot of guys that are reverse platoon split guys. So, you know, they're kind of a comparable matchup to the Braves, I would say, but it's not like a great spot necessarily. And being in the AL doesn't help either. So yeah, I won't play Carrasco in my cash games anymore.
The two other guys that I can see people maybe talking themselves into, one is Jordan Montgomery. People liked him last time he played. I think he played against the A's. I can't remember exactly what his last start was. Tonight he gets the Angels. He is one of the bigger money line favorites on the night. Their Yankees are again projected to put up a bunch of runs. They were like that too last night. Angels like sort of in the mid fours range, but he's a -200. Do you think people, well, one, the Yankees are a pretty public team to begin with. Two, do you think that the -200 money line of Montgomery has people moving in that direction for him? I'm not totally in love with it, but I could see people talking themselves into it.
I mean, maybe. The issue I think that's going to be the sun in people's eyes on that one is that Paxton is effectively the same price. I mean, I assume you're not talking about FanDuel. I don't think he'll have much, if any, ownership there at all. But yeah, if you go over to DraftKings, like 7,900 for him. I get that he has a big money line, and that's all well and good. And I know he was heavily owned against the A's in his last start, but he's not, like, he doesn't really have the huge prospect pedigree that we'd really like here. And while the ERA has been reasonable, Paxton's just outperformed him basically by every measure, like both ERA, K per nine, wins, like every single thing. Paxton's in a better ballpark tonight. I don't think that, yeah, I don't see that wind up moving the needle too much. I mean, yeah, the great matchup with Nolasco is something, but I think the win is a little bit de-emphasized in the modern DFS, and while it's still important, it's not enough to swing it that dramatically for me.
The other guy that falls into that category possibly is Jose Berrios. So he's a -190 against the White Sox tonight, who are just not all that good. I think they're one of the bottom feeding teams actually against righties this season.
Yep.
That line is crazy. This line started at -125 and was bet all the way up to 190. So that's the old oopsies. Someone made a mistake when it opened. To go up 70 points is really not something you ever see. I should probably just go back and look if there was like a pitching change or something, because that kind of line adjustment is really a complete outlier when it comes to just kind of like how Vegas sets their opens. But Berrios is a guy, so he has the -190 in his favor. His strikeouts have been okay this season, not great. I mean, he's like up and over 8. I think what people are going to look at for him is a 2.74 ERA, which is great, obviously, but the xFIP is almost 2 runs behind it at 4.5. He's been insanely lucky on BABIP. So he's got 46 innings of 230 BABIP. You're not, and an 81 left on base percentage. So you're just not going to, those two things are lining up pretty nice to keep the ERA at a unrealistic level. Do you think, you know, that this kind of goes to the anti-Samardzija thing, right? Like the reason you can talk yourself out of Samardzija was the ERA and the no wins and kind of all that stuff not going for him. Berrios is like the opposite. He's 6-1. The K's are, like I said, okay. The ERA is really low. Do you see him as just like the inverse of Samardzija? Like all those like kind of nice shiny things that kind of stand out to people, but it's really kind of not painting a totally correct picture.
Yeah, absolutely. And Berrios, you know, he was a kind of a big name prospect coming up, did have some flashy numbers in the minors. He has big time stuff. And if anyone watches him pitch, he's capable of generating some really embarrassing swings and misses. But I think that with I think you're insane to play Berrios on DraftKings, like 11-4 for him. It's just such a dramatic overpay that it's hard to imagine even. I just don't think a lot of people recognize the name enough to overpay by it that dramatically. Like, I think if you're in that range and you see him next to Carlos Carrasco, hard to imagine you don't go in the Carrasco direction, but, you know, maybe that's just the longer-term fan in me speaking. On FanDuel, though, at 9,700, I do see him potentially getting some ownership there. Your point about the White Sox is very solid. The Sox this season have been just kind of a laughing stock, bottom five team in terms of WOBA against righties, striking out at a really high rate, too. So, yeah, and you get them out of Comerica, and things don't get any better for them, right? So I think Berrios is actually kind of a reasonable play on FanDuel, especially for big tournaments. It's hard to imagine, though. Like I said, it's just such a solid 1-2 at the top of this list that it's hard to imagine going too far in a different direction there.
Yeah, like I said, there are a couple other names. We don't need to break them down, but like Verlander's pitching tonight. Rich Hill is going. You know, we mentioned Waka as an example of guys that were just kind of ordinary. So there are, never mind. So there are a couple other names. I don't think those guys, Sean Manaea is the other one, but he gets Houston, so no thanks.
No one's going to play this
one. Right, no, so there are a couple other names, but I do think, at least for us in our system, and I suspect where you see general ownership percentages, are going to be on the guys that we mentioned earlier. All right, let's finish this thing off with some hitters on the late slate, and there are a bunch of them. So the first we have to get out of the way first, obviously, is that still game going on here in Coors. Another high run line tonight, mostly on the Rocky side of the ball, facing Taiwan Walker. I think that you'll be able to get some of these guys in just because you're not really overpaying anywhere at starting pitcher. So, I mean, of that group, I mean, do you see... Is it going to be hard to like completely fade that Colorado game in cash tonight, or do you think it's like it is, or does tonight make it a little easier to get away from it?
Well, it's a combination of two things, you know. Like I think on one hand, we're not going super high end on pitching in the late slate, so you'll have more money to spend. And I think from that perspective, I could see you going a one off like Nolan Arenado or something like that. But I think there's enough other good hitting teams in good situations that you probably won't wind up just going full stack on it or anything.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with you there. The price, again, these guys are expensive. So even if you didn't only pay like less than $9,000 on FanDuel for Samardzija, you're still, it's going to be hard to roster like two $5,000 guys, like a Blackman and an Arenado, say, exactly. Or something like that. Yeah. Cargo still coming kind of cheap, all things considered. After them, though, is there a team that's coming maybe, I don't know, 20, 25% less across the board for price that you think we can get in just like with almost as good of an expectation?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Yankees are looking phenomenal tonight. You know, they obviously have the great matchup with Ricky Nolasco, who hasn't been good kind of ever, but at least since 2013. So Nolasco this season has the 5 ERA, the 4.6 xFIP, and is just back to his old ones, you know, not striking anyone out, walking people just a little bit, but really the thing that kills him is the heavy fly ball rate. So I think you love that to see it in Yankee Stadium. It should be a lot more punishing for him there than out in Anaheim. And the Yankees this season have just been amazing against righties. You know, they're the best team in the league in terms of WOBA against right-handed pitching. The 840 OPS, rather, is phenomenal. They obviously start the lineup with a switch hitter and a lefty in Gardner and Hicks, and then doesn't get any better for pitchers from there with Aaron Judge coming up after that. So I think you can stack a number of those guys. Maybe you get Sanchez perennially too cheap, and you go from there. But yeah, the Yankees have a huge total tonight, and their hitters aren't priced anywhere near the Coors guys. So I could see running the full four Yankees on FanDuel and maybe even on DraftKings as well.
Yeah, Yankees, of course, were a pretty popular play yesterday, kind of in the same situation with a pretty high run line, and overall were disappointing, only three runs. So I don't know how much, personally, that doesn't affect me even in the slightest, but I know that affects some people who have just simply can't get like recent performance out of their minds when it comes to
baseball homes, man. Yeah. Baseball is going to be baseball, and if you're worried from night to night on what's going to happen, I get that it really messes with the mind, and that the Cavaliers in a game that they were projected to score 110 points just couldn't go out there and score 50. Like, I know that it's weird to make that adjustment if you're one of our basketball users or whatever, but yeah, you can't sweat one game's worth of performance.
No, yeah, but the Yankees are just in such a good spot here, especially if their lineup stays like sort of where we have it projected as. But if you saw even a guy like Gary Sanchez move up in the lineup because they've kind of jockeyed him around at times, he'd be a great value at catcher. Judge has been unbelievable. Like, he's got like a 1200 OPS, 1150 OPS. Seems like he hits a home run every single day. Like, between him and Bellinger, it really seems like these guys just homer every single day. And with Judge, well, Bellinger seems like a little streaky, but Judge is just like, he's probably just like he's just another superstar kind of in the making. Like, it was a
kind of seems like it. Yeah, definitely running a little hot against right-handed pitching this season. You know, like his peripherals against lefties are a little bit better, but yeah, I don't see him going anywhere.
Yeah, no, for a guy with his power with a 15% walk rate, that is a pretty good way to start. All right, after the Yankees, who I do think will be fairly popular play, sort of in that middle range, like in that mid-3,000s range, which is like a nice sweet spot considering you're not paying a ton, you're not going to pay a ton for pitching. Where, any other games or teams that kind of stand out to you here, maybe coming a little cheaper, or maybe, you know, we figure people are going to try to go the Rockies-Yankees route, which I do think is going to be a pretty popular one. Oh, yeah. In cash games, or as much as possible that people are going to try to do that. What other teams can maybe pivot off of?
Yeah, I think there's actually a huge next tier down from that where things are going to get pretty diverse tonight, actually. So I'll just start with earlier games just for lack of a tiebreaker, but I'm looking at the Indians against Kevin Gausman tonight. Gausman obviously was kind of a prospect coming up, but things have really come off the rails for him this season. After a pretty good performance in 2016, he's up to a 4.4 walk rate this season. The K's are down by more than two. I think there's murmurings of injury concern here as well. The 5.35 xFIP is just not a sustainable number. Like, it's going to be really, really hard for him to even stay in the majors if he keeps pitching this poorly. And the Indians, while they haven't quite been the Yankees this season, pretty damn close. Like, the 330 WOBA is sixth in the majors. You know, the nearly 800 OPS. They're just a good hitting team against right-handed pitching, and Gausman has been anything but a good pitcher this season. So I do think, you know, especially for big tournaments and things, I think you get, like we talked about the Yankees being kind of a better discounted version of the Coors lineup. The Indians aren't as solid as the Yankees tonight, but if you want to take just a little shaving off your expectation and get way less ownership, I think they're a very solid option here.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with you. I like the ballpark for them. I'm with you that I just have no love for Gausman at all. They have around a mid-fives implied run projected. Like you see, his price has really come up, but Jose Ramirez has taken over that Michael Brantley third spot in the lineup, and he's been absolutely raking. But even Lindor and Kipnis, both are coming really still pretty cheap for what they can provide for you. So
Kipnis dramatically better against right-handed pitching too, so that's a really nice spot for him.
Yeah, no, I can see Lindor being again a pretty popular shortstop play just for 3,200 with his bat. If he's going to hit leadoff again, a great spot. I really like the DraftKings prices on some of these Twins guys tonight, like their Berg and David Holmberg. Yeah. Not the best ballpark in the world.
What a Holmberg!
not the best ballpark in the world, considering some of the other places that, you know, just are on the slate, just Yankee Stadium and Yanks game cores and whatnot. But if you're going to face Holmberg here and you're going to get guys like Dozier at the top of the lineup, they're going to, I guess they're going to move Eduardo Escobar up to the two spot. They kind of, they're another team that'll jockey things around a little bit. Like you could see Grossman move up there. He's better against lefties for his career. Sano, only 4,000. There are a couple different ways to go with guys. Even Kenneth Vargas, he's still coming pretty cheap, all things considered. So they have a really high run line. They are coming a little bit cheaper. I think the ballpark is probably what keeps people away a little bit, just because when you see, you can get some light in your eyes when it comes to some of these little ballparks, and it really kind of makes sense. But Holmberg is absolutely trash. Like 5 Ks per 9, walks 3 per 9, his xFIP is over 5, and don't ignore the 2.6 ERA. Like that is completely smoke and mirrors. Like
full on half of what his expectation probably is.
Totally.
If you look at his career numbers, I mean, 89 innings in the majors, and he's not like exactly the youngest guy in the world. Like he'll turn 26 pretty soon. But yeah, below 5 Ks per 9, almost 4.5 walks per 9. This is about as bad as it gets.
And, well, he's living on a 230 BABIP against in 89 innings. And he's actually, he has a 5 ERA with a 230 BABIP. That's really hard. You need to be
170 BABIP.
Well, I'm saying for his career, 230 for his career. Yeah, 170 this year. 230 for his career with a 5 ERA. That means you've been bad and super lucky. Like, his ERA is probably should be closer to 6. Like, this guy's horrible. So, anyway, some of those righty bats, some of those righty bats at the top of that lineup, like I said, Dozier, Escobar, Sano, are in great spots. Their run line starting, or their implied runs are starting to creep towards 6. So, I could see them being popular, and they're a little bit better deals on DraftKings than FanDuel, so I'd probably target them more there. All right, we're going to get out of here. We've got an early slate of baseball coming up in the next couple hours, and then a pretty – I would say, all things considered, this day seems like it's shaking out pretty good. Pretty clear pitching options. It seems like pretty clear offensive options as well. I love when things shake out like that. Buddy, we'll be back again tomorrow. Try not to have anyone get pregnant so your wife has to run out so we can record tomorrow. Sound good?
Yep, that's not how that works, but we'll talk about it tomorrow.
I need to see some science, but I do feel like it works that way. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Peace.